Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Beit, and we're holding a daf Samach Aleph Amud Beit, and we are right at the last line. So we said before that HaTalmidim Yotzim LeTalmud, we spoke about the heter for somebody to go out, and he's allowed to go Shelo Bereshut up to 30 Yom. Now, the question is, that's Shelo Bereshut. But how about Bereshut? So how much could he go with Reshut? What kind of weird question is that, says the one? We mean, how much could he go with Reshut? Whatever he gets Reshut for. I mean, isn't that the whole point? So what exactly are you asking? No, we're asking Urcha de Milta Kama. Look, obviously, you know, men can put their wives into a very tight kind of position, you know, I'm between a rock and a hard place over here. I mean, what am I going to tell my husband? No, you can't go and you can't learn. I can't do that. So anyway, the Gemara wants to know, Urcha de Milsa, what would be considered to be the norm and acceptable that a person should even, you know, pressure his wife a little bit to get rishus? And because you don't want to do something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at askance. So you go according to what the Derech Eretz is. Urcha de Milsa means the derech. What is the type of thing that would be acceptable to leave one's wife? Look, the norm is that you could split your time so that you could take a month here, meaning here in your makom where you're learning, and a month at home. And we see that that is an acceptable kind of behavior because it says, l'chol dvar ha-machlokot ha-ba'ava ha-yotzeit, Chodesh b'chodesh l'kol chodshei hashana. So over there in Divrei Hayomim, it's describing what it was that David HaMelech did and how it is that he set up that everyone should take care of the needs of the Malchus. And what he did was he had each group work for 1 month, and they were there for 11 months, which of course has nothing to do with what we're bringing a raya to here, because we're trying to bring a raya that every other month you can go away for a month. So as Rashi explains, actually, it is not beferish in the pasuk, but rather what's happening is that Rav is being medayik in the pasuk. Because why in the world does it need to say, all you needed to say was the machlokot, which was l'kol chodshei hashana. It doesn't make any sense to add the words chodesh b'chodesh. What is that supposed to mean? Chodesh b'chodesh. So therefore, Rav is medayik that basically, besides these 12 machlokot, there were also people who were rotating chodesh b'chodesh. So that each group, there were two groups, each one of which served in total 6 months, and they alternated 1 month at home and 1 month working for the Malchus. So you see from there. Otherwise, what is it referring to? If it was only the issue of having people that would be around for 1 month and then home at 11 months, we don't need to say any of the rest. So you see that it's actually a rotational basis. Same thing should be true if somebody's going to learn. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, actually it's Chodesh Kan V'Shnayim Bebeito. It should be 2 months at home and 1 month away in yeshiva. Shenemar, because we find for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, it says over there, Chodesh Yihyu Balvanon, and Shnayim Chodeshim Viveto. So that here we're talking about Shlomo HaMelech. So Shlomo HaMelech had 30,000 people in total, and there were 10,000 people working every month, which means that there were just three shifts, in which case you have 2 months at home and 1 month away. So therefore, you should do it by 2 to 1. So yeah, hey, that's a pretty good raya. So Rav Nami, why wouldn't he also say the same thing? Why does he say 1 month per 1 month? So Rav answers, look, Binyan Beis HaMikdash is different because what's my problem? That I need to be busy. I don't need to be busy. And over there, you could have other people. There were people that were on call, and it was arranged that I could be away for 1 month and then be back for 2 months, because that was the way that they had set up the three groups of 10,000 apiece. So, but when it comes to learning, what am I going to send somebody else to do the learning for me? I can't do that. So over there, obviously, it makes much more sense to look to the Dovid HaMelech Remez and to the 1 month by 1 month. And Rabbi Yochanan, why doesn't he also agree to Rav that you only have to stay home 1 month and then you can leave again for another month? No, says the Gemara, because in that case, you see, it's different. Because Lamaisa, you ended up being on the government payroll, right? When you're on the government payroll, which I was talking about over there, that the people that would work 1 month at a time and across, they would keep rotating by 1 month. The question over there is you gain an awful lot, right? If you're working for the Melech. If you're working for the Melech, so then, you know, there's all kinds of government perks. You get a car and you're able to, you get a lot of money. So over there, the woman is very happy. You know, you're bringing home a lot of money. I'm going to get a lot out of it for myself. But what are you going to get from working for in the yeshiva? I don't get anything out of that. So that may be the way she feels. I'm going to be able to bring a raya from there at all. That's why I have to take a look at something where you don't have that kind of personal rewards. Now, once we're talking about the machlokas here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, in terms of how to understand the pasuk that splits things up, so we have another machlokas that is interestingly similar, in which case Rav darshaned from the pasuk, Hanacha shoveret chatzi gufo shel adam. The machlokas over here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav also about a pasuk that splits itself. So Amar Rav, Hanacha shoveret chatzi gufo shel adam, shenemar v'ata ven adam heanach b'shivron motnayim, u'bimrirut teanach. So over here, the Navi Yecheskel is telling us about the approaching destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that you should be sighing. So anacha, that's a sigh, that a person has the sense of, it breaks him. And it says over here that it will break you at mosnayim, at your loins. So in other words, it'll bust your body into two, so to speak, and take away half of your functionality. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what do you mean? Afkogu for shalom. It'll kill you. Shenemar, ve'ayaki yomru elecha ma'ata ne'enach. When people will ask you, so what are you sighing for, so miserably groaning for? Anacha is more like a groan. So ve'amarta, el shmua kiva ve'nameis kol lei ve'rofu chol yadayim ve'chiyata chol ruach ve'chol birkayim telach lamayim. This is a lot worse than just busting you from the Mosnayim because of what we heard. And every heart's going to melt. All of the arms will be weak. Every kayach and spirit is going to start to collapse. And your knees will turn into water. I mean, that's everything, no? So wait, so how do you explain Rav's pasuk? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, Oksiv v'shivron motnayim? No, that is just saying that when it starts from the middle of your body, but then the rest of your body will collapse. And Rav, why doesn't he bring a riot from the Nomais Kalev, Rafu Koyadayim, Vichyatako Ruach? That's different. That was about the Beis HaMikdash, that it was destroyed. What the Pasuk, the first Pasuk from Yecheskel was talking about, was the Shmu'ah that it's going to be destroyed, that Yecheskel was passing around. But this is the actual Churban. Obviously, the actual Churban turns everybody into water and into hopelessness. That's different. Now, there was this Jew who was walking along, and a goy was trying to keep up with him so that they could walk together. So, who Yisroel Bevet Kachavim? Davikasi Bu'urcha Bahari Adari. Now, obviously, Ben Yisroel has much more kayach than a goy, and he's walking along, tramping, you know, like, watching Alon take a walk, you know. So watch Alon take a walk. Who's going to be able to keep up with them? So the guy goes crazy. So could you just not get up enough energy? So he figured, okay, I know how to slow him down. So he says, hey, Jew boy, what do you feel about that Beis HaMikdash that you used to have? You know, so he figures that'll bring him down, you know. So Atkrei Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the guy starts groaning and moaning. Nogit v'yislach, he figures this should slow him down plenty. It didn't slow him down. still couldn't keep up with him. So he says to the Jew, I remember learning in my Daf Yomi this morning, says the guy, that that kind of groaning should bust a person. How come you're not slowing down? So the Yisrael answers him, that's only when the person hasn't absorbed the loss. If something new happens, indeed it's true. This situation, which we've gotten used to, so it doesn't break us anymore like that. A woman who's already lost a few children, she does not react to losing another child in the same way. She's used to loss. Anyway, moving on. So now the Mishnah talks about the different levels of ona, how much a person is mechuyev to give his wife in terms of intimate attention. So it speaks about tayalin, and tayalin is not clear what that means. I mean, it could mean people that go on tayalim all the time. It could mean people that live at home, tayalim in the sense of tula. They live in the shadow of their homes, well, secure and protected. Not clear what it means. Omar Rava, you know what it's referring to? B'nai Pirkei. The kind of guys, you know, they go to yeshiva during the day, but they live at home. So if they live at home and they just go out to the kollel, they got plenty of time to be intimate with their wives. They come home every night, you know, that's what it's referring to. So it's a lashon says tosfos of living at home, of tula. Omar Le'abaya, that is so insulting. The Torah refers to these people that are sitting and learning in the city. So this pasuk is understood to be a reference. This is from Tehillim, a reference to people who stay at the office. They get to the office early in the morning. They stay at the office late at night. They sit and they eat donuts and coffee, lechem atzabim, ruining their lives. Shav lechem, what a waste of time. Believe me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give all the money that you're making, will give to the people who are sitting and learning, and he will give liyedido, that simple meaning, to his lovers. He'll provide this to his lovers. And then it says liyedido sheina, we darshan it to mean liminade de sheina, since their wives are always waiting for their husbands to come home at night because they don't come home from the kollel until 1 o'clock in the morning. And the women are sitting there hoping their husbands will show up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them back all that sleep that they lost. Elo nishotehem shel tamidei chachamim shemenadedot sheina me'eneihem be'olam hazeh uva'ot lechayei olam haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay them back for all of that loss of sleep. So obviously this is referring to people who live in town, because if they're away, the wives are not sitting there waiting for them to come back. And nonetheless, we call these the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views as his lovers and the ones that are away late at night. And you, Rava, you call these guys, yeah, you know, they're tayalin, they got plenty of time for sex. I mean, what are you talking about? These people, the Torah holds them up as never being at home. That can't be the pshat. Terrible to say that. Atamrit b'nai pirkei. El Omar Ba, you know what it's referring to? The way Rav explained, tayalin. The Omar Rav, you know what a tayal is? Somebody like Reb Shmuel Bar Shilat, you know? Reb Shmuel Bar Shilat, we've had him many times before. He was the famous cheder Rebbe, right? Now, if you're a cheder Rebbe, you don't have to work at night because kids go to sleep. So you got a very nice, easy schedule, basically, you know? And you certainly don't make much money. So you have just enough to get along on, you know? So he's ochel bididei, shasi mididei, vegani betula da patne, uses the lashon here, of the tzel. This is a guy who lives in his own little house. To him, that's a mansion, a patne, you know? This is my mansion. The government doesn't even notice that he's alive because his income is too low. So because of that, lo cholif priestika de malka abave, They never have the IRS knocking on the door. The government's not asking him for donations, either in physical presence or money. Guy leads a charmed life. That's who we're talking about. He's got time for women, you know? Ki asa Ravin, Omar. Now, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about all these guys in Eretz Yisrael. You guys have no idea how to live here in Babel. These guys in Eretz Yisrael, they are mefanke de me'arava. These guys are so spoiled. They take such good care of themselves. They eat good food over there. They drink good things. Not like over here where you got yourself your ridiculous fish hash and garbage that you eat all the time. They even have boost. That's what it's referring to. Those people, they have time, you know, so they have enough energy for their wives. Rabbi Abu, so I'll give you an example. Here's Rabbi Abu. Okay, so now this is a guy, you know, he's a big Talmud Chacham, he's busy, he's learning and so on. There he was in the bathhouse, right? Now remember, the bathhouse was built over an empty area. In some places, they would actually build a fire, and in other places, the water would run out, the boiling out water would run out from the bottom and would wash everything away. It was like a large sewer underneath. Anyway, so Rabbi Abu is there, and Rabbi Abu always had two people that would support him. He says, he's not going to go by himself. And okay, so he has two people supporting him in the bath, and now the floor collapses. And everybody's going to die. Now, Yisrami Le'amuda, he was near one of the pillars that was supporting the bath, which didn't collapse, just the floor collapsed. So he grabs onto that. He holds onto it with one hand, and he pulls the two guys that were supporting him, he pulls them up with his other hand. And then there was another mice like that with Rabbi Yochanan. When he was climbing up a ladder, a stair, I mean, remember, stairs were also called the darga. And one of the stairs collapses, and everybody, he's also being supported with his people, with a couple of people that are supporting him. It was Rabami and Rabasi over there. Havisamchele Rabami for Rabasi, and they have the covet of supporting Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was a fat guy, and he weighed an awful lot. Anyway, so the stair collapses. Everybody's going to be killed. So he grabs the next stair. He grabs Rabami and Rabasi with his other hand, and he pulls them back up, both of them. So they say to him, you know, I mean, you're a heck of a lot stronger than we are. Why are we sitting here all day long supporting you, who is supposedly the one who needs support? This doesn't make any sense. As Rabbi Yochanan said, what, are you crazy? I'm going to use up all my energy now, and what am I going to save for my old age? I need you guys to take care of me now, so I'll be able to take care of something later when everybody forgets about me. So now the Mishnah said, Poalim, they have to give their wives attention twice a week. Vatanya, but the Braita said once a week. It depends. The question is whether this Hatosavus understands it. Do they also have a commute? If they have a commute, that commute wears them out more than their wife does. So because of that, they only are mechuyav once a week. They don't have a commute, so fine. So then they have enough energy to be with their wives twice a week. Tanya nami, okay? Apoalim shtayim b'shabbat. But when is that? Bamed varim amurim ba'osim alacha b'iran. Avabosim alacha b'iracheret. Achat b'Shabbat. Okay, then we talked about these donkey drivers, equivalent of short-haul truck drivers, or people that are making deliveries or selling stuff out of their trucks. Now, this is fascinating because, remember, according to Beis Hillel, we said that if a guy makes a neder and asers his wife, so to speak, he really asers himself, but effectively it turns out that he cannot actually sleep with his wife without being over on his own neder, where he ossered himself from enjoying sex. So what happens? So Beis Hillel said all he can do is 1 week. If it's more than 1 week, he's got to divorce his wife and he's got to give a ksuva. Now, So something's a little funny over here, because the cases in the Mishnah only talk about the Tayalim and the Poalim. They're the only ones that a netter of a week without sex is going to affect. Because everybody else is anyway going to be away for a week or maybe even 6 months. I don't know. So you're listing a whole Mishnah. And out of the whole list of the Mishnah, there's really only two people that this is going to affect, you know. And you're making this the reason that you make this blanket statement that if a guy ossers himself from the joys of sex, he has to give a divorce. He's not going to see his wife for 6 months anyway. This makes sense. Omar le Rabba bar Rav Chana l'Abaye, I don't understand. Ichapal tana lashminan tayal upoel. So the whole discussion with Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was only referring to those two cases where it could make a difference of, I don't know, an extra day. I mean, like, what are we talking about over here? So you're going to make a difference of a couple of days to a woman, you have to give her a divorce, and then all the other cases are irrelevant? Omar le, so Abaye said to him, of course not. Obviously, the whole machlokas was referring to all of the cases. Akula. I don't understand. So if a guy's going to be away as a sailor, you said for 6 months he's going to be away. So why, if he makes a netter for 1 week, would he have to give his wife a divorce and pay the ksuva? Doesn't make any sense. Of course, it makes a tremendous amount of sense. It's all psychological. Because eino dome mishiesho pat b'salo, look, it's true that he's away for 6 months, but not necessarily. In other words, there's always this sense of hope. And there's always the, you know, who knows, maybe like he'll surprise me. Or at least there's a dream, a fantasy that I could be with him. But like this, she's thinking, I don't even have a husband. He says he's not allowed to have any joy of sex. So what am I, you know, I have nothing to look forward to. So then psychologically, it affects her much more deeply because of the netter. And it has nothing to do with the practicalities of the amount of time. Omale Rabba Barav Chanan Labaye. So let me ask you something. Suppose a guy is working as a truck driver, as local deliveries, and he wants to become a long-haul truck driver. So the long-haul truck driver is now, so he becomes a gamal. Now there's going to be much less time that, because before he was supposed to be with his wife once a week, and now it's going to be once a month if he becomes a long-haul driver. So can he do that, min hastam, and say that, look, I mean, basically he's going to be making much more money. And therefore, we have a right to assume that a woman, even though she married this kind of truck driver, she understands that it's part of getting ahead in life, that he's going to get an 18-wheeler one day, you know, and he's going to be away for a month at a time because, you know, it's going to bring in more money and she's necha to more money. So what's the din? Oh, Marley, nonsense. Rotzeh adam bekav v'tiflut, the woman is willing to get along with 1/10 of the income as long as it's plenty of sex. Better than 10 times the income, or Tosfos says 9 times, I should say. Better than the Tisha Kavin Uprishut. What, so now I'm supposed to live like a nun? I ain't get married to live like a nun. I don't care how much money he's bringing in. That doesn't make up for it. Now, this is a little bit problematic, as Tosfos points out, because the answer that we gave before of why it is that we can't learn out from the Pusik about working for the Melech was because there he's making so much money, he's got so many perks, and she likes the new car, and she likes the fact that he's going to be able to bring in so much nice job. I mean, so apparently the sex is not worth so much. So how do you explain that? The Tosfos says, you know what? There's limits. I mean, when you're working for the government, I mean, you're really pulling it in from all kinds of places. That already, we wouldn't literally say Tisha Kavi. Hasapanim, so sailors, once every 6 months, and then, of course, we have the continued idea that he's allowed to go away for 30 days, even without rishus. So now, I don't understand. Everybody is muted, and yet we're getting all of this noise. I can't understand where it's coming from. Fine. So we're just quoting the wrong part. The thing that we wanted to quote was the heter to go away for Shloshim Yom, even without rishos, right? So Amar Vada Barava Amar Rav, the truth is that this is all the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer, including the heter to go away for 30 days. But the Chachomim say that you're allowed to go away for 2 or 3 years without permission. But my Rava, some Chorabonan and Ravada Barava, it's become the minute that people rely on this psak of Ravada Barava, who says that according to Rav, but this question according to Rav, is not clear because it doesn't appear in all of the Girsos, but it's for sure in the name of Rav. But anyway, the Chachamim Aimrim, according to this, that you're allowed to go for 2 or 3 years. So Rava says, listen, the fact is that most B'nai Torah rely on this. I just want to point out that they're risking their lives relying on this. That's all I want to point out. V'avdei uvda b'nafshayu, and they're chancing them their own life by making this determination. They can go away for 2 or 3 years and leave their wives alone. There was the famous story of Rav Rechumi. Rav Rechumi used to spend the entire year away because he wanted to learn in Mechuza by Rava, and he would only come home. By the way, this is, again, such an insight into the difference of how people experience the Kedushas Hazman and the Yomim Tovim. What would be the one day a year that he wants to be home? Yom Kippur. You know, the exact opposite. What do you mean I want you to be home? We have a nice meal together. He wants to be home on Yom Kippur, where there's the sense of the destiny of a home and the future of everything together. It's a completely different way of looking at life. So he used to come back home every Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Echad, 1 year, it was Erev Yom Kippur. He got so involved in his sugya, it was too late. He missed the train. So Havi Mizaka Deviso, his wife kept looking out the window, saying, oh, there he is, here, he must be coming now. Hashta'ati, hashta'ati. And he didn't show up. Cholash da'ata. So she felt so sad. One small tear dropped out of her eye. Achiti matami eina. At that moment, he was sitting up on the roof. The roof collapsed and he died. V'noch nafshe. So you see, this is a very dangerous thing to do something that is going to make a wife very sad. This was the shmuz, we used to call it a shmuz. These were the Divrei Yisairis. My Rebbe used to speak about it. Every Yom Kippur used to say this. And so he would ask the obvious question. The worst possible thing for his wife is that he would never come back. And Rebbe Rechumi, I mean, so, like, it's all very nice, you know, so he was punished, but his poor wife, I mean, that the whole story doesn't make sense. She's crying because he didn't make it back and now she'll never see him again. Like, this is the correct response. And so this was like one of many, many riyas that he brought. But he said the point is hurting another human being. The issue is not that the person is punished for hurting another human being. The issue is that he's playing with fire. That's the issue. You can't taina that the fire shouldn't damage him because that's going to hurt somebody else. When you're playing with fire, you get burned. Doesn't matter what the issue is with other people. That's what the Gemara is saying over here, that this could come at the cost of your life. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's all very nice that your wife would pray that you should survive or whatever, but that's not the issue. So you used to say that's such power. This is fire that we're talking about. Anyway, when is the correct time for this once a week intimacy? It means Leil Shabbat, because since, as Rashi says, Shabbos is meant for ta'anug. Shabbos is meant for you to enjoy your body. And Shabbos is meant for a time of menucha. So this is the time to have your sense of intimacy as well. It's the time in which you'll have the deepest intimacy, obviously, because that's the nature of Shabbos and the chibur to the Olam, of course. So it's Me'erev Shabbat, Le'erev Shabbat. And this is a remez in the Pasuk, Asher Piryo Yitein Be'ito. Giving, you're like a tree that gives its fruit at the right times. And the fruit, obviously, is your own fruiting. we always pointed out that sperm is the only, semen actually is the only thing that contains fructose in the human body. It's literally the same way we learn out the mokum of mila from fruit, with the same pusik as merames, that the idea of a humans having children is similar to a tree bringing forth fruit, even to the extent that the mechanisms, the evolutionary mechanisms in terms of reproduction, so shockingly alike, that the same sugars appear in the fruit that appears in human semen. This is amazing. So this is what it's referring to, that what is the bi'ito? Asher pru yo yitain bi'ito. Omer, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Vitemer of Nachman, Zeh Mishamesh, Mitato, Mi'erev Shabbat, L'erev Shabbat. That's exactly what it's referring to. Yehuda Beredu Rabbi Chia was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yanai, and he would spend the entire week in the yeshiva, Havaazov Yasi B'Beirav, V'chol Be'er Shimshe, Havi Ati Levete, every Friday, towards the end of the day, he would come home. And when he would come home, there was a pillar of fire that would walk in front of him. That was the level of his kedusha. You could actually see a pillar of fire walking in front of him. One time he got so involved in a sugya, he didn't make it home on time. They didn't see the pillar of fire that day. So they realized he wasn't going to be coming. So Rabbi Yanai said to the family, and Rabbi Yanai, that was the father-in-law, right? He was Chatamei de Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai said to them, he's obviously dead. Kvu mitato, this is Avelos, you should turn his bread upside down before Shabbos. Shilmola Yehuda kayam lo bitel onato. There's no way that he would have been mevatel his mitzvah to be with his wife. Havi kishkagashi atzel milifnei ha-shalit. This was like an accidental psak of mothers. Benoch Nafshin, at that moment, he actually died. Rebbe was trying to arrange for his son to marry a daughter of Rebbe Chia. They're about to write the ksuva, and the girl suddenly dies. Noch Nafshin did the visa. Rebbe said, oh my God, like that's chas v'sholem. What does that mean? That psula ika? There must be some kind of psula in our families that we're not meant to be together in a marriage. What could possibly be wrong? So they sat down together to work out the genealogy of Rabbi Chia's family and Rebbe's family. And it turned out that Rebbe was a great-great-great-great-grandson of Shfatya ben Avital. So Shfatya ben Avital, Avital was one of David HaMelech's wives that is listed. Shfatya means that he was a direct descendant from David HaMelech. And because of that, he was from the Mishpachas HaMelucha, which, of course, is the Nasius. So that's why he was the Nasi. But Rabbi Chia was from the nephew. He came from Shimi, who was David HaMelech's brother. And we know that there was an awful lot of issues in David HaMelech's family with his brothers and so on. The question, which one was the Melech? And he came from one of the brothers, which Bedavka meant that they were rejected. That was the whole story at the beginning of Shmuel, that they were rejected from the Melucha. And when Shmuel said, oh, here, Neged Hashem Mishichosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't stand him. Get out of here. See, you don't understand anything. That this wasn't him, but Lemaisa, it wasn't Roy that the other members of the family who weren't Zeicher to be of royal Gedula, that they should marry into the family from David directly. Amazing. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Monea the Shidduch. So Rebbe, because of that, went to find a wife by Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra was a very chosh of a Kohen, and a Kohen, that you would have been right to be a Kohen Gadol. That was right for the Melech to marry into. Okay, so they worked things out, and they agreed to provide 12 years of learning that after he is going to be Mekadesh, his wife, he can go learn for 12 years and then come back, and by that time the Kala will have grown up, and now they can get busy in making a life together. So they said, okay, but, you know, he hasn't seen the girl yet, So we should at least let the girl, this is what they used to do all the time, until very recently. This was a minhag. So they would give the girl a tray of things to walk through the room to present as if she's coming to provide the table. And meanwhile, the chassan would get a glimpse of the girl, and he would decide if he likes the way she looks or he doesn't like the way she looks. So that's what they did over here. So they had the girl, they had the daughter of Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, walk through the room with a tray, you know, so she's walking through. So Rebbe's son sees her, right? So he says, you know, why don't we bring it down to 6 years? I don't need 12 years. This is a pretty darn good-looking kid. Okay. So then she walks back to go back to the kitchen, and then he sees her again. Akhla for coming again. So he says, I have a better idea. Let me first take her to the chuppah, and then I'll go learn. So anyway, clearly he was turned on, and he was very embarrassed by this, but he did not want to accept the idea that he should go away first before the God. So he was embarrassed that Rebbe's going to be really angry at him. Like, you made such a fool of us. What's the matter with you? Here I come to Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, and you're talking like some idiot that he's got to have his woman. So Rebbe says to him, I'm proud of you, boy. That's an amazing story. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. Look how turned on he was by Klal Yisrael. Dat koncha yesh b'chabini. Because originally, what does it say? By the Shirat Sayyam. Tiviyemo v'titaemo bahar nachalatecha mechon meshivtecha pa'alta Hashem. So what does that say? Bring in Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and then you will build the Beis HaMikdash. And then what does it say in the end? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how about if you build this little Mishkan meanwhile right now? It's exactly the same story. I can't wait until we're all settled. It's going to be 14 years. No. Let's have something now. So it's exactly what you were like. So I'm proud of you. L'besov k'sivas suli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. Anyway, so after he married her, he goes and he sits there for 12 years. By the time he gets back, she had become sterile from lack of sexual activity. So she was hormonally messed up. As Rashi says, you go 10 years without sex, then it can really badly affect your reproductive capabilities. So Omar Rebbe, so Rebbe said, oh my God, so what should we do? Well, he should divorce her because she can't have children. So people will say, Aniyazol, Lishav Shamra, well, I understand this poor child. She sat there, gave her life away, waiting for 12 years, and then he comes and divorces her. Should he go marry another woman? And to say, Zoishtov is Zozonato. So the one that ends up waiting and doing everything, yeah, he kept her around, you know, but his real wife is the one that he makes the family with and everything, and this is like a mistress? This is terrible. What are we going to do? So boyola rachame v'istasiyad. So Rebbe was mispal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, you got to save the situation. And she ended up becoming once again fertile. Rebbe Chananya ben Chachinoy was havik azul aveirav. He was going away to the yeshiva. This was another one of the so-called shmuzim. The Divrei Torah was a big favorite. So this was towards the last Sheva Brachas of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So he was a chavrusa with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, not a bad chavrusa, you must admit, right? So what would you give to have Reb Shimon Bar Yochai as your chavrusa? Anyway, so Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said, look, I just got another couple of days of Sheva Brachas. Wait, and we'll go together, and we'll be chavrusas. Reb Chananya ben Chachinoy said, I'm not waiting, I don't wait to go learn. So he ends up going without him. Anyway, by the time he got back, also Yosef Treseh Shnei Bnei Veirav, he keeps a 12-year Seder over there, comes back, Ishtanu Shvilei Damata. He doesn't recognize anything because they built so many new roads and that changed all the one-way streets. He had no idea how to get home. So he didn't know what to do. So he decides, okay, he's going to sit at the river banks where everybody comes in the end to take water, and maybe he'll be able to get directions. You know, how do I get to Chachinoy's house? So here's this girl that is being addressed by others as, hey, chachinai girl, come on, fill up your bucket, let's get out of here. So he says, ah, she must be a kid of mine, right? Okay, so I'll follow her home. So he follows her, and meanwhile, his wife is sitting, and she is sifting flour. And she just gets a glimpse of him, and she is shocked to such an extent that she had a heart attack. Savi liba m'porach rucha. Omar lefanavsu, he says, Ribbono shel Olam, aniya zo zeschara. This woman who waited for 12 years, this is the schar that she should drop dead when I come home. Borach me'alav v'chaya. And so he was Bavakish Rachamim, and she came back. Reb Chama Bar Bisa also did this. He went away for 12 years. And when he gets back home, he said, listen, I'm not an idiot to do what he did. You know what Chachinoi did? Ha! Killed his wife. I'll be very careful. So he decides he's going to go into the Beis HaMedrash, and he'll let it be known gradually that he's home and so on. They should be prepared for him and not be totally shocked. So he goes to the Beis HaMedrash. Now, his son, he had no idea it was his son. His son was Rav Hoshaya. And Rav Hoshaya comes into the Beis HaMedrash and starts to talk to him about various inyonim, various sugyas. Havikomash le shmaitata. Rav Chama sees, wow, what a kid. This kid's a genius. Chozer de komischade de shmaitata. He sees he's so smart. He says, oh man, was I stupid to go away for 12 years. If I had been home, I could have had a kid like this. Because I would have learned with him, and I would have taught him how to think, and I did the wrong thing. I could have had a boy like that. Anyway, so he comes into the house, and his son comes into the house after him. So Reb Chama stood up in front of him because he thought that, you know, this guy in his ear, he wants to probably speak and learning, has some shaylos. So he stands up to speak with his own son, not knowing it's his own son. So his wife says to him, Amro Davido, I never heard of such a thing. A father should stand up for his son. Zakori Alei Rami Bar Chama, they say about Reb Hoshaya, you have three generations that know each other in learning like this, like Rabbi Hoshaya, who was Reb Chama's son, and he was Reb Chama Bar Bisa. We have a lot of stories that he himself talked with Reb Bisa, and that means that you have three generations that were together in learning Torah. Lo bimeira yinatek. This is also, remember the pasuk that we darshan, that we say always in Uval Etzion, that lo yamushum picha mipizaracha me'atavayad olam. Once it's your mouth, your children's mouth, your grandchildren's mouth, then ena torah poseket, the torah chuzeret al achsanya shalom. And this brings us to the story of Rabbi Akiva, who did the same thing. We're talking about these 12 years. Now, Rabbi Akiva was the shepherd that used to work for Galba Savua. And he was called that because you would walk into his house hungry as a dog and come out completely satisfied. He would take care of everyone, massive amounts of food, money that he would give out. Extremely rich, extremely powerful. And Chazite Barta, his own daughter, saw this Rabbi Akiva, and she felt that he was an amazing person. He was tzanua, and he was so decent. Tosus asks, it sure doesn't sound like he's very decent if he said every time he saw a Talmud Chochem, he wanted to grind away at his bones like a chamor. I mean, like, why is that considered to be decent? So it's very interesting. Tosus says, you know, basically it wasn't because he hated Torah. Chas v'shalom, he was Mekayim Mitzvahs, and he was Mechaviv Torah too. But he hated the way Talmid Chochem acted. Because he felt that the way they treat Amei Ha'aretz is disgusting. As they wouldn't allow you to get near because you don't want to become Tomei from Big Day Amei Ha'aretz. And they would be mezalzel in them and would say all kinds of horrible things about them. That's why he was angry. So myself like this in Baltimore, I don't know if maybe Rabbanea remembers. There was an Amei Ha'aretz that lived around the yeshiva who actually committed suicide because it was a terrible story. And he felt that he was looked down. This is right after the war. Remember that the only people that you had in your life were the few other Jews wasn't like today that there was, you know, these massive populations in the small cities. And he felt rejected, Mamish, by the Bnei Torah and the yeshiva. Anyway, so that causes Sina. But that's a different thing. It wasn't Sina of Torah. So anyway, so she says to Rabbi Akiva, if I accept your Kiddushin, will you go and learn Torah? Amarle, yes, I will. So Artishila Betzina, so he gave her Kiddushin, and she sent him to Beis HaMidrash. Her father found out about it, he threw her out of the house. Afka mi Beisa, and he made a netter, answering her Bahanoah from anything that he owned, which means that from being a very rich woman, she became literally a homeless person, a disaster. And also, Yosef Treis Reishnim Veirav, and he went, spent 12 years in the Beis HaMidrash. When he was coming back home, Aite Badei Treis Alpfi Talmidim, he had 12,000 Talmidim. And as he's coming to his house, he hears, Shamei Lahu Saba de Karmalo. So he hears like one of the neighbors saying to her, how long are you going to go on living like this? That you live like an almana? What's the matter with you? Your husband's insane. So she said, you know, if my husband would listen to me, he would spend another 12 years. He hears this. Oh, he says, so now I have reshus. He turns around and goes back for another 12 years. Could be. Anyway, this is another one of the favorite. The favorite idea is, I mean, for God's sake, you already came home, just come in and say hello, you know, spend the night. I mean, what do you mean? He turns around and says, oh, Avishu, see you later, alligator. Like, what's going on? And this was one of his tremendous, tremendous insights. He says, you know, imagine somebody's preparing coffee. So he turns on the kettle, and the kettle, he brings it up to 90 degrees. Okay, it's centigrade, of course. And he turns it off. Now he comes back. He's got to start all over again. Imagine if he keeps eating it once it already gets to boiling. Okay, so now he's got boiled water. It's the same thing. Well, you think 2 times 12 years is the same thing as the 24 years? It's incomparable. Bechol. So without having that interruption, that's what made Rabbi Akiva, was turning around on the spot, not coming home, what everybody does. I'll just take a brief break. But those brief breaks bring you back to starting all over again, every time. So therefore, he turned around, and by the time he came back, he comes back with 24,000 Talmidim, and she hears that he's coming, so she goes out to meet him, but of course, she's basically a slob, a homeless person. So the neighbor sat there, listen, we'll give you something to wear. I mean, you're going to meet your husband. You haven't seen him in 24 years. Don't you want to put on something nice? Amralahu, no. Yodea tzadik nefesh behemto. You know, he knows the soul of his animal, so to speak, even what his animal needs. So obviously he knows what I've been going through on account of him. He doesn't need to see me putting on something that isn't mine. He needs to see me as I am. And that's what he understands. And that's what he loves. So she comes to him. She reaches him and she falls on her face and she kisses his feet. So he had all of these watchmen with him. And they said, this isn't nice. And they start pushing her away. Leave her. Everything that I've learned and everything I've been able to teach you all comes from her. Now, her father, meanwhile, he had no idea who this was. And he hears that a tremendous Adam Godel has come to town with 24,000 Talmidim, and he goes running out. Maybe he could get a heter for the netter. He hasn't been able to find anyone who can be Mater's netter. It's killing him that his daughter for 24 years has been living like a homeless woman. And he doesn't know what to do because he already made a netter that she's asur to be nene from him. So he said, you know what? I'll run to this man. Efshad amefer nidroi. Maybe he could find a way to be mevato my netter. She comes to Rabbi Akiva to explain to him what happened and ask him, is it possible to be mater the netter? So Rabbi Akiva said to him, so let me ask you something. When you made the netter, would you have made the netter even if she had accepted Kedushin from a great man? So he said, if the guy knew one Mishnah, I wouldn't have done it. Afilu perek echad, afilu halacha achas. You have no idea what this guy was. I mean, she goes and she goes basically, as far as I'm concerned, she goes shacking up with this idiot, this shepherd, didn't know a thing. Can you imagine? She could have had the best of the best. That's, if there would have been any hope that this guy could have known something one day, I wouldn't have done that. So Omar Lay, I know, it's me. Wow, can you imagine that meeting? So Nafal al Ape, he also fell on his face. Vinashke al Kare kisses his feet, and he gives him half of everything that he owns. Yoiv Lay, Palga de Mamone. Now, what happened afterwards is that Rabbi Akiva's own daughter did exactly the same thing when she got married to Ben Azai and also sent him away for 12 years. Behind the Dam Reinche, this is what people always say, that Rechela Bazer Rechela Azla, Ke'uvde Ima, Kach Uvde Barta, that one you follows the other, so that the daughter learned from her mother. And that, of course, is a play on Rachel, which was her name. So this is Rechela after Rechela. And this was another favorite shmooze. I'm sorry for bringing them all up. But the other favorite was, Tosa says, Kasha, you can't be Mater and Neder with Neilat, right? So what do you mean, Adaita? I mean, it's all very nice, but that's not something that's expected. And since it's Nolat, it doesn't serve as a good Pesach for a Neder. So how is he Mater Kalbasavu as Neder? So this is an amazing Tosfos. The Tosfos says it's not called Nolat because at that point he had already gone off to the Beis HaMedrash. And the derech is that anyone who does that is going to become an Adam Gadol. So since he went with that level of commitment, that's not called Nolat. That's the norm. You go on that basis to learn for 12 years, you're going to be an Adam Gadol. And therefore, he had every right to be Matan and Neder. It's not called Pesach Menela. It's an incredible thing. Rav Yosef Rei de Rava, Shadrei Avu Labei Rav, Lekamed Rav Yosef. Now, Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, his father sent him, and they had made up 6 years after he was married. They're going to support him, his wife, and he's going to go learn. Okay? So he goes to learn by Rav Yosef, and 3 years pass away, and he says, you know what? It's Erev Yom Kippur. I should go visit the family and see if everybody's okay. So he decides he's coming back home. He comes on Erev Yom Kippur, and his father hears, Shama Avua. So Rava hears that his son, a chutzpah, he was told to stay away for 6 years, and he's coming back after 3 years to make a family visit. Was he insane? So he grabs a rifle and goes out holding a rifle, greets his son, and he says, Shaka mana nafak lamarlai. Oh, so you remembered your little whore in the house, did you? So you couldn't hold out for 3 years, you jerk. And he holds the gun on his son. Or others say, Omar Lehmet was a little bit nicer. Oh, so did you remember your dear little sweet dovey, you jerk? So, Yonatan iskarta? So this nice romantic boy I've got over here who spits up his 6 years of learning that was given up to him, and he splits it up. And wrecks everything. Anyway, they got into such a fight, Rava and his son. Here it's Erev Yom Kippur. Neither of them ate the Suda Mafsekes that year. Lo Mar Afsik, Velo Mar Afsik. They had a very bitter Erev Yom Kippur argument. These were tough people, let me tell you. But you'll notice something interesting. There's patterns of breaking things up that started from the beginning. You know, the month here, the month there, the question of the Mosnayim breaking up your life into two, the groaning, the difference of where it is that we're learning it from, Rabbi Akiva, 12 years with all 12 years without breaking it up, the story over here of Rava, something is a strong pattern.